Good afternoon, Gretchen Gondek here for Food for Thought on Friday afternoon. And I am delighted to welcome Mark Munger, who is, can I still say the new GM at Siouxland Public Media. So how are things going, Mark?
They're going well. I believe they're going well. I hope that the listeners are enjoying what's happening here. We've got a new talk program that aired this past week. And it started for the first time. It's airing Wednesdays at noon. It's called The Exchange. It's a local news and culture program hosted by Mary Hartnett, our news director, who is also new.
Yes, well, I enjoyed it very much and look forward to hearing that. It'll be every Wednesday and possibly...
Right now, we're starting off with Wednesdays at noon, and my hope is that we can build it out as we progress along, find the most efficient ways to go about it. And it's just an exciting thing for us to do to try to find better ways to serve our community, which with news that's reliable and impacts people's lives.
And given the small staff here, talk show, for folks who don't know, is a huge undertaking, planning and coordinating and producing.
It's pretty demanding, but we have a very talented staff that's committed to our mission and committed to this community. So though it pushes... every second a little bit harder for us, it's something we all look forward to doing.
Well, you're doing a great job, Mark, and it's a real pleasure to have you in the studio today because we've been having some fun with Siouxland Public Media staff, kind of interviewing them.
Mm-hmm. I've liked this. It's been a nice introduction to a lot
of people. Well, I think it was your idea, so I have to give you credit for that.
I don't think so. Mary's was terrific last week.
The cake.
I wish I would have followed Steve. That would have been a lot easier for me.
Green peppers with corn.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew?
That's why he grew so tall.
Well, you're going to talk about, it looks like you've prepared something for me here.
I have. This is my favorite thing. And it's very simple. It's a whole wheat sourdough bread that I make. And I at some point in my 20s, which is probably too late for most people to come to this realization, but it was important for me. I started cooking. And I decided that I wanted to be able to make the thing that I loved the most, which was bread. And I feel like that's a good philosophy for a lot of people at that age. Is at some point in your 20s or so, you should probably learn how to make the thing that you like the most and make it the best way that you know how. So it's the thing that you want the most, and you can provide it for yourself, and it can be a source of pride and something you can share with people, and it demonstrates something about you, maybe. So there it is. It's just it's a whole wheat sourdough bread. And I've kind of gone to extremes with it and in the sense that I buy my wheat in whole wheat berries, and I have a grinder and I grind it. And the sourdough is something that I had started myself. And we can talk about doing that too if that interests you. But I've put a lot of time and effort into making this particular bread, which looks really simple, and it is really simple, and it's just what I like.
It looks wonderful and quite dense.
It's very dense. I like a denser bread. It's a sandwich bread. It's not it's not like a French bread or a really airy bread, which those are fun to make as well. But this just happens to be the thing that I wanted. And every morning I like to wake up and make myself a slice of bread. That's sort of my routine. And now that I have a daughter, who's going to be two. In just a few days from now, we make it together already. And she knows, she knows when I start getting out the wheat and everything. She says that it's time to make dough, and she likes to push it down after it's risen. And she's involved, and she also eats it for breakfast. And it's a wonderful thing to share with her. I'm excited about it. I wish I'd had this type of bread when I was younger, because a lot of the bread that we have now is sort of the supermarket white Wonder Bread or something like that, which is not what I think of as bread anymore. It's just kind of a sponge. I mean, it has its purpose. And, if I had a sandwich of that with some peanut butter and jelly between it, I'd probably feel pretty comfortable. But.
Well, this is delicious. I'd just like to share with you, there's a wonderful nuttiness and crunchiness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can really taste, with commercial sourdough breads, you can't really taste the sourdough, but It really comes through in the flavor.
I made this particular loaf a little bit more sour than normal because I wanted you to taste it. And that all goes to how you prepare it. The longer you let it ferment, the more times it rises, the more sour it becomes, obviously. Bread is so interesting. It's a fascinating area to explore. You know, just the fermentation process, the changing of the sugar and the oxygen into alcohol and carbon dioxide is so interesting. And then that you can then taste it. It changes the profile of the flour so much. It's fascinating. And it's so responsive to the environment within which you make it. So the temperature of your kitchen or wherever you let it rise, the temperature of the water that you pour into it, the type of water that you put into it, if you're going to use filtered water, which you know, I would recommend using a filtered water, really changes the flavor of it. So you just, it's almost a way of exploring your environment, making a loaf of bread. And I know that's, this is getting so public radio by me saying that, but it's true. And it engages you with the world around you. And then you, if you go to the lengths that I've gone, which I'm sure a lot of people think sounds really effete and snobby, like grinding your own flour, you start to learn about those things too. And this particular wheat that I use is this batch is a red spring wheat. And there's spring wheat and winter wheat, and there's red and there's white. And they all have different properties. Red and white aren't so different. The red is what most people think of when they see a whole wheat loaf. It's that dark color. There's a little bit of bitterness to it from the bran. But whereas white doesn't have that. It's a little little sweeter. But so this, like you said, has a bit of a nuttiness because of the bran that's used. And it's 100% whole wheat. You can bolt it if you want. You can take out some of the bran. But I like the whole wheat. I like the density of it. And there's the little brans, if you grind the flour, is very small. It just becomes little crispy bits of bran in the bread. And I like how
yummy
that texture feels.
Now, is this a weekly practice at your house, making bread?
It's about every 2 weeks that we make it, just depending. You know, my daughter eats a lot of it, and then I eat a lot of it. So sometimes if we're if there's an ice storm and we're stuck at home, we go through it a lot faster than a normal working day.
Well, there's something wonderful about making your own bread and creating this. One, you know, the smell of the bread baking, and then it hasn't gone unnoticed that this is smothered in butter. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's delicious. To be smothered in butter, and that's another place where you can go and look for interesting flavors. A lot of people don't really go into looking for different types of butters, but there are cultured butters now that you can find at places like Hy-Vee that have a different flavor. It's not a flavored butter. But the cultures really change how it tastes, and they're delicious. They're a little bit more expensive, but, you know, you're talking spending, you know, $5 instead of $3. And if you're going to get something really great and it's a rare treat, that's not really that much of an indulgence.
It is a treat. And the texture is so, it's kind of, as I said, kind of crunchy, but as you bite into it, there's a lot of texture there. It's mm-hmm. just yummy. Now, what is in, I assume this is the
yes.
sourdough in a jar.
I brought my starter, so you can smell it and kind of see what it looks like. Usually it will be a lot bubblier than what it looks like now. I've stirred it up and it's been kept in the refrigerator. If you start a sourdough starter, you can keep it forever, really, as long as you keep they say you feed it. You give it a little bit of flour and water every so often and, you know, stir it up and make sure it's okay. And I was away for a month recently and, you know, it dries out, but you can revive it easily. It's very robust. And again, it takes on the character of the wheat that you put into it and the yeasts that are on that wheat. A lot of them are on the bran, so making a whole wheat starter can be easier if somebody's out there thinking about trying to do it. There are a lot of great websites for making a sourdough starter. The particular method I've used for this one, and I've had this one for a year or so, and I've had different starters in different points in my life, but this one is called a pineapple starter method, and you use pineapple juice to begin it.
Really?
And I kind of didn't use that method for a while because it didn't sound legitimate to me. But I read the research on it, and this woman that's a microbiologist is the one that developed the method. And the research is really interesting. The thing that the pineapple juice does is it creates the environment that the yeast best survive in. So it changes the pH level of the mixture to the point where yeast develop and bacteria is prohibited from developing. So if you just, the traditional method is just having water and flour out, say on a countertop, and eventually it'll start to ferment and it'll go through some phases. And that first phase is the bacteria phase, and it'll bubble and stuff, but that's bacteria, it's not yeast. And eventually the bacteria will kill itself because it will become too acidic. And so that's when the yeast takes on, but you can kind of skip through that whole process by using pineapple juice. Interesting stuff, I know.
It's fascinating.
I'm really doing a good job here, aren't I?
You are doing a great job. And mm-hmm. and I can smell the yeast, and it's just, it's wonderful. Well,
And I didn't really bring a recipe per se, but I can tell you the basics of making the bread if you're curious, unless I've run out of time.
You're the general manager.
We'll let this one run long. Important topic.
It is.
And again, a lot of bakers are very precise, and baking bread is an art of precision. A lot of times you use weights instead of volume measurements. But I'm not going to say that stuff just because you have a bag of flour, you have some water, and you have some yeast. That's all you need, some salt. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. You can just start making it right now and not worry about it. If you're just making it with yeast, you just dissolve the yeast in water, mix it with some flour until you get the right consistency, which should be a little bit tacky still. And about 1 cup of water will yield a small loaf of bread, 1.5 cups of water. So I make I put about 3 cups of water in now I'm going to measurements, and I said I wouldn't, but I'm doing it. You can just use a coffee cup to measure it too. So I use about 3 cups of water to make 2 loaves of bread. And you just knead it, which is such a wonderful process of, stretching and pushing the dough, and it feels good. It's very tactile and fun, and the smells, develop as you do it. You do it until it forms a ball that you can kind of press in, and the divot pops back out to its original form, or you pinch it and it goes back in. Or there's a window pane test, they call it, where you put it between your fingers and stretch it to the extent of your fingers, and you should be able to see light through it without it tearing. And that's so then you know that the glutens have developed to the right degree. And then once that's done, you set it in a bowl and cover it with a damp cloth and let it rise. And depending on how fermented you want it to get, you just keep letting it rise and then put it in the oven. And I bake it at 450 for 20 minutes in a low. I use loaf pans for this particular bread. And then after that's done, you turn the oven down to 350 and it goes for another 20 minutes. And you take it out of the oven, and you should be able to rap on the top of the bread. And it makes a nice sound. And then you know it's done, a nice kind of hollowy sound. So that's the process. It's simple.
And there's really no way you can achieve these kinds of results in buying bread off a shelf in
a
store. Absolutely not.
You can't.
No.
And the I think the other thing that you don't get, and it's nice and you don't need to get whole wheat berries like I do, because that's crazy. You can order whole grain flour. The thing to know, though, is if you go to the grocery store and you buy whole wheat flour, it's flour that was sifted and then had the bran put back in. They're taking out the germ because the germ will go bad and it spoils. And the germ is actually where a lot of the nutritional value is. So there's not a lot of nutritional value in the whole wheat flour you're buying at the store. So if you really want to get something that has good nutritional value, that's the direction you should go. Not that the other stuff can't taste good and be very enjoyable. But so this particular bread has a lot more nutritional value than the bread you would find in the store, even the more rustic breads that you can get there.
Well, I think this is wonderful, Mark. And I'm struck by the notion that you're sharing this with your daughter, which, you know, what a beautiful thing that is that you can do together. And she'll grow up remembering this recipe and making it with her dad. And that's great.
Hopefully, if everything goes well, or else she'll hate bread. She'll only shop in the gluten-free aisle because she can't bear to think of me anymore.
Oh, I doubt that. But thank you for bringing me this extraordinary toast today and sharing your...
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
I've got a lot to say about this. The best way to store your bread, and a lot of people don't know this, but this is how you should do it. You need to slice it after it comes out of the oven, put it in a bag or something that can go in the freezer and freeze it in slices. And then when you're going to eat it, you just use a knife if you have to separate the bread, if it freezes together. Just a little butter knife, not a sharp knife because you'll hurt yourself. And just kind of just gingerly wiggle it between two slices. It'll pop apart, no problem. And then toast that single slice and do whatever you're going to do with it. But that way the moisture stays in the bread. Refrigerators are a horrible way to store bread. A refrigerator is a very dry environment, and it will just dry out your bread faster. You can store it on a countertop, but it won't last very long.
So it's better to freeze it.
You should slice it and freeze it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking about how some raspberry jam.
Delicious.
Or peach jam would be so good on this.
I love it. And it's great with egg salad, too. I love the whole wheat sourdough with a little egg salad or something is really wonderful. So, yeah, it goes in all directions. It's a lot of fun.
Well, Mark, this has been very enjoyable. Thank you for making me some toast this morning. I don't know if I shared this with you. You know, I exercise this afternoon, and I haven't eaten anything. So thank you.
Yes.
What a treat.
What a treat. Thank you. It's been a treat to be.
Well, we'll have to do it again. Show.
We will.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again.
I'm sure there'll be a high demand for me to be here again.
I'm sure. Uh-huh. Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. Yeah. We've been speaking with Mark Munger, General Manager of Siouxland Public Media. I'm Gretchen Gondek, your host for Food for Thought. Thank you for tuning in today, and have a great weekend.